of the success Merle Haggard had early on in his career. With that mentioned, we are also going to pay tribute to Bonnie today with none other than two classics. Now, she was a wonderful singer in her own right, having many hits over the years, that I would like to remember her today, first of all, with a classic titled My Hi-Fi to Cry By. Then we'll follow with a duet between Merle and Bonnie herself, and a song titled Slowly But Surely I'm Falling in Love. With that, I'd like to welcome y'all to the second hour here this morning and say happy listening to all my listeners out there.
Unbeknownst to me, I was falling in love with Bonnie Owens. She and I were touring together, and she was older than I was. She was so beautiful.
I turn on my radio each morning around 9 to hear the man announcing it's country music time. He plays the record hits that fit most every girl and guy. Then he plays our song and it's my hi-fi to cry by. I wonder how the man who wrote the song knew to say the words that keep on haunting me day after day. As long as you're here in my heart, there'll be tears in my eyes, especially when I'm listening to my hi-fi to cry by. There must be other broken hearts that feel the same way too, but they don't know the hurt that goes along with losing you. So just to hear that song and live with memories is why I turn on my hi-fi to have my daily cry. I wonder how the man who wrote the song knew to say the words that keep on haunting me day after day. As long as you're here in my heart, there'll be tears in my eyes, especially when I'm listening to my hi-fi to cry by. Especially when I'm listening to my hi-fi to cry by.
I always felt like his big sister, because I'm older than him, and I still do feel like his big sister. We still talk like that.
Slowly but surely I'm falling in love, falling in love with you. Slowly but surely you're winning my heart,
and you're winning my heart too.
Slowly but surely I'm losing my heart,
and I'm losing my heart to you.
Slowly but surely my dreams will come true if I spend my lifetime with you.
You're just what I've wanted.
You're just what I've needed. You're my every dream come true.
My love's growing stronger.
I can't wait much longer.
I'm falling in love with you.
But surely I'm falling in love, falling in love with you. Slowly but surely my dreams will come true if I spend my lifetime with you.
just what I needed. You're my every dream come true.
My love's growing stronger.
I can't wait much longer. I'm falling in love with you. Yes, I'm falling in love with you.
We built another friendship that lasted for many years, all the way to her death, you know. And I went to see her last time at the home where she was staying. She was several years into the Alzheimer's thing, and she grabbed me by the arm, and she said, I got to take you down to my room. So I followed her down to the room, and she had this big slick of her and I up behind her bed. And she looked at me and she said, he's my favorite. She didn't identify me with that picture.
Yes, friends, once again it's that time in the program to welcome a very special member of our morning team to our program once again. That, of course, is Simbush the Wonder Husky. With that, I'd like to welcome Simbush with her collection of great Merle Haggard songs. First, we'll remember a classic called Rainbow Stew, which is a very topical song during this era. Then we'll follow with another all-time classic, rather patriotic song, which to me is another topical one, titled The Fighting Side of Me. And we'll wrap up with another one called Are the Good Times Really Over for Good, also known as Snowball Headed to Hell. With that, I would like to thank Simbush for her contribution to today's program. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
There's a big brown cloud in the city and the countryside to sin. The price of life is too high to give up. It's gotta come down again. But worldwide war is over and done, and the dream of peace comes true. We'll all be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. When we find out how to burn water and the gasoline car is gone, when an airplane flies without any fuel and the sunlight heats our home. One of these days when the air clears up and the sun comes shining through, we'll all be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. Eating rainbow stew in a silver spoon underneath that sky of blue. We'll all be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. All right, Margie. Get high to get a happy. I just think about what's in store. When people start doing what they ought to be doing, if it won't be booing no more. When a president goes through the White House door, does what he says he'll do, we'll all be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. Eating rainbow stew in a silver spoon underneath that sky of blue. We'll all be drinking that free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. Eating rainbow stew in a silver spoon underneath that sky of blue. We'll all be drinking free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew.
Down a way of life. be a warning. When you're running down a country horse, you walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy who claims that he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And when they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. They're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down our country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down a way of life our fighting men have fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down our country horse, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? Chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over? Wish Coke was still cola, and a joint was a bad place to be. And it was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook, still would. The best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? I've been rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. With no kind of chance for the flag, the liberty. Wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should.
is the best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. Stand up for the flag and let's all ring the liberty bell. Let's make a Ford and a Chevy that'll still last 10 years like they should. Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
I found a stack of old records that we used to listen to.
Hey everybody, this is Margie Singleton in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock right here on Way Back. Keep listening. You'll be glad you did.
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time following Simbush's Top Favorites to welcome y'all back into the program. To salute the segment I like to call The Great Canadian Northern Gems by Even Greater Canadian Northern Legends. With that mentioned, I would like to share that Merle Haggard's impact on the country music scene even reached way up here to the North Country of Canada. With that shared, I would like to play three covers of Merle Haggard's songs as recorded by the Canadian legends of the past. First, there'll be a song going out to my beloved parents, both Mama Don and Papa Willie B, who gave me the best gifts in life. That was life, but also my love for country music. With that, I'd like to send it out to Mama Don, and also in loving memory of my late father, Papa Willie B. For them today, it'll be Norman Post, who is a dear friend of ours, and it's going to be Mama's Hungry Eyes. Then we'll follow a song going out to our good friend here in Durham County, Big Al Trainer of Oshawa, and from Big Al, it's going to be a cover of an old song titled Big City. Then we'll wrap up with, yes, another all-time cover of a favorite by Merle Haggard, and that's by none other than our late great friend Johnny Burke, and it'll be Daddy Frank. With that, I would like to welcome you all in to this part of the program. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
A canvas covered cabin in a crowded labor camp. Stand out in this memory I revive.
A canvas covered cabin in a crowded labor camp stands out in this memory I revive. 'Cause my daddy raised a family fair with two hard working hands and tried mama's hungry eyes. He dreamed of something better, and my mama's faith was strong. And us kids were just too young to realize that another class of people put us somewhere just below. One more reason for my mama's hungry eyes. Mama never had the luxury she wanted, but it wasn't 'cause my daddy didn't try. My mama's hungry eyes.
I remember Daddy praying for a better way of life, but I don't recall a change of any size. Just a little loss of courage as their age began to show, and more sadness in my mama's hungry eyes. Mama never had the luxury she wanted, but it wasn't 'cause my daddy didn't try. Still recall my mama's hungry eyes.
I'm tired of this dirty old city, entirely too much work and never enough play. I'm tired of this dirty old city, entirely too much work and never enough play. And I'm tired of these dirty old sidewalks, think I'll walk off my steady job today. Turn me loose, set me free, somewhere in the middle of Montana. Give me all I got coming to me. You can keep your retirement and your so-called social security. Big city, turn me loose and set me free. Been working every day since I was 20. Haven't got a thing to show for everything I've done. There's folks who never work and they've got plenty. Think it's time guys like me had some fun. Turn me loose, set me free, somewhere in middle of Montana. Give me all I got coming to me. You can keep your retirement and your so-called social security. Big city, turn me loose and set me free. Big city, turn me loose and set me free.
Wasn't like no normal family combo, 'cause Daddy Frank the guitar man was blind.
Daddy Frank played the guitar and the French harp. Sister played the ringing tambourine. Mama couldn't hear our pretty music. She read our lips and helped the family sing. That little band was all a part of living, and our only means of living at the time. And it wasn't like
cause Daddy Frank, the guitar man, was blind. Frank and Mama counted on each other. Their one and only weakness made them strong. My mama did the driving for the family. Frank made a living with a song. Home was just the camp along the highway. Pickup beds were where we bedded down. Don't never once remember going hungry, but I remember Mama cooking on the ground. Daddy Frank played the guitar and the French harp. Sister played the ringing tambourine. Mama couldn't hear our pretty music. She read our lips and helped the family sing. That little band was all a part of living, and our only means of living at the time. And it wasn't like no normal family combo, cause Daddy Frank, the guitar man, was blind. Can't remember how they got acquainted. Can't recall just how it came to be. There had to be some special help from someone, and blessed be the one who let it be. Fever caused my mama's lost hearing. Daddy Frank was born without his sight, and Mama needed someone she could lean on. And I believe the guitar man was right. Daddy Frank played the guitar and the French harp. Sister played the ringing tambourine. Mama couldn't hear our pretty music. She read our lips and helped the family sing. That little band was all a part of living, and our only means of living at the time. And it wasn't like no normal family combo, cause Daddy Frank, the guitar man, was blind. Yes, Daddy Frank, the guitar man, was blind.
Hi, I'm Harold McIntyre, and you're listening to Way Back with my good friend, Johnny Woodlock.
Wish I'd learned to run before she made me crawl.
Oh yes, friends, once again, it's that time to welcome a very special little member of our program to our show this morning. With that mentioned, it's time to once again welcome Lil Gunny, the Dash Hound, to our program. Now, even though she is the smallest member of our morning team, she makes it up with a giant personality, which makes her the real wiener of our program. Get it? That's a joke. A winner. Anyway, with that mentioned, we're going to have Gunny's top favorites here this morning, which include some of the prison-type songs of Merle Haggard's. First of all, we're going to hear an all-time classic titled Rambling Fever. Then we're going to follow with a song that I have always enjoyed of Merle's titled Branded Man, which is a lot of truth to that song, especially when he says they never let him live it down, which they never did. And then we'll wrap up with a 1968 classic that charted at number 6 on the Billboard charts back then, and it was, of course, Bonnie and Clyde, that was inspired by the legendary movie from 1967. With that, I'd like to welcome you all into the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and also www.oshawarocks.com, and thank you, Lil Gunny, for your contribution to today's program. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Mm-hmm.
the same nail too long. My ears can't stand to hear the same old song. And I don't leave the highway long enough to bog down in the mud. 'Cause I've got rambling fever in my blood. I caught this rambling fever long ago, when I first heard a lonesome whistle blow. If someone said I ever gave a damn, they damn sure told you wrong. I've had rambling fever all along. Down on the sofa and let some pretty lady rub my back and spend the early morning drinking coffee talking about when I'll be coming back. 'Cause I don't let no woman tie me down, and I'll never get too old to get around. I wanna die the highway and rot away like some old highline pole. Restless rambling fever in my soul.
Rambling fever,
kind of candy measured by degrees.
Rambling fever,
there ain't no kind of cure for my disease.
Be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. When they let me out of prison, I held my head up high, determined I would rise above the shame. But no matter where I'm living, the black mark follows me. I'm branded with a number on my name. And be proud of who I am, but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. If I live to be 100, I guess I'll never clear my name. 'Cause everybody knows I've been in jail. No matter where I'm living, I got to tell them where I've been, or they'll send me back to prison if I fail. Be proud of who I am,
but they won't let my secret go untold. I paid the debt I owed them, but they're still not satisfied. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold. Now I'm a branded man out in the cold.
Bonnie was a waitress in a small cafe. Clyde Barrow was the rounder that took her away. They both robbed and killed until both of them died. So goes the legend of Bonnie and Clyde, the poems that she wrote of the life that they led, told of the lawmen left dying or dead. Some said Clyde made her life a shame, but the legend made Bonnie the head of the game. The rampage grew wilder with each passing day, the odds growing smaller with each getaway. With the end growing closer, the harder they fought. With blood on their hands, they were bound to get caught. They drove back from town on one bright summer day, when a man they befriended stepped out in the way. With no thought of dying, they pulled to the side, but death lay there waiting for Bonnie and Clyde. 2 years of running was ended that day, for robbing and killing they both had to pay. But we'll always remember how they lived and died. So goes the legend of Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde, Bonnie and Clyde.
You were mine for just a while, now you're putting on the style.
Charlton Walker, son of country music legend Charlie Walker. Coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on Way Back. Enjoy the program.
Pick me up on your way down.
Yes, friends, following those classics, it's a true honor to welcome our second weekly special guest. This next guest is a true friend of mine. Not only was he born the son of a legend of country music, but also became a legend in his own right, having recorded many songs throughout the years, including many of his father, Merle Haggard's songs. With that mentioned, it is a great honor to welcome Marty Haggard to our program, the son of Merle Haggard, in honor of his father, Merle Haggard, today. Now, following this first half of this two-part interview and visit, we will hear an all-time classic titled Sing Me Back Home, which will be sung by Marty Haggard in honor of his father, Merle Haggard. But we will start it off with a little bit of the Merle Haggard version. Now, this song was one of the best beloved classics of the Merle Haggard collection, and it is a song that Marty and I talk about during this interview, the first part of a two-part interview with that. Here now is a true legend in his own time and a legendary son of none other than a country music pioneer and Hall of Famer, Merle Haggard. Here's Marty Haggard, friends.
Well, hello, Johnny. How you doing, buddy?
Very good, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you, Marty.
You too. I have never been introduced as a legend. I've been introduced as a son of a legend.
Well, you are, and very much you've done your own music as well.
Well, I did okay. I think I'm finding out I have a lot more supporters and fans out there than I realized, but by no stretch of the imagination ever remotely close to the level Dad reached.
There's only one Merle Haggard, and there's only one Marty Haggard, so...
Thank God. Greyhound for that.
So let's go back to when and where you were born. You were born the son of country music icon Merle Haggard.
Yes, I was born in Bakersfield, California in 1958. Of course, that's where Dad was born and raised also. Known as the country music capital of the West Coast, and that's what they call it, the California Sound. Yeah, there was a lot of great artists coming out of that area. Jeannie Shepherd and Big Grief, Tommy Collins, and Gwen Stewart. I mean, some great artists were coming out of that area. Tony Booth, so on.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, but we grew up in that little old dirt town. It's an oil town, is what it is. A lot of farmers, a lot of oil patches, and pretty salt of the earth.
Yes, exactly. Down to earth people, exactly, yeah. What was your childhood like growing up, the son of Merle?
Well, it was started out a little rough. Dad was in San Quentin prison, so one to 19 years and 15 years and when I was born. So, you know, he was a troubled youth, and, you know, and I was born, I think, the year they put him in San Quentin, and they finally released him 3 years later. And, you know, of course, Mama made her living waitressing and picking cotton, and we were pretty poor. And when Dad got out of prison,
sure,
it was a pretty rough upbringing, pretty rough marriage. Mom and Dad did not get along very good. And, you know, when he got out of prison, it took him a little while to get into the music business and start turning his life around, I guess. But, you know, we went from extremely poor to, you know, Dad got in the music business, started doing really well, and we went from the poor side of town to the rich side of town pretty quick.
Yes, I see.
But you know, there's trap doors with every life. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, being Dad's son, the convict, wasn't any more difficult than it was being Merle Haggard's son, the famous guy.
And so, looking at your father's upbringing, I understand, like you were mentioning, that between 9 and 21, he was in and out of about 18 institutions. Is that right?
Actually, he was 12 years old.
12? Okay.
12 years old to 18 years old, he had been arrested multiple times as a kid doing juvenile delinquent stuff like truancy, and, you know, I guess he stole a car once, and hopping box cars and riding on the trains, which was considered trespassing back in those days. But he was put in a lot of institutions like boys' camps and juvenile hall and all kinds of places. Boys' prisons, basically. And,
yes.
He escaped from wherever they put him 17 different times. So, you know, he had a real problem with standing still.
like they always said, or like he sang, the running kind.
The running kind and the fugitive and all that stuff.
Exactly.
He would take a bad situation, make it worse, bad decisions. And it was a troubled youth, and like I said, until he was 18, finally the first time he got arrested as an adult.
Okay.
And they arrested him for public drunk.
Oh, is that right? Yes,
Yeah, they put him in the adult jail, which was the first time they ever put him in the adult part of the jail. And heck, he broke out of the Kern County Jail. That was his 18th escape. And the judge looked at his record when they finally caught him. They found him and took him to court. And the judge looked at it and said, "We see a pattern developing here. You've escaped from 17, now 18 different places." And they branded him a habitual criminal.
Oh,
they
wow.
Sent him to San Quentin prison, which was one of the worst prisons in America, and sent him there for 1 to 15 years. And it was in there that an old man, the guy he wrote the song "Sing Me Back Home" about.
Yes, you know? Rabbit, I understand. Tell me the story about Rabbit, because you do a wonderful story on the stage about him.
Well, it's a really long story.
Yes.
And I'm glad to tell it, and mm-hmm. I'll try to condense it a little bit.
Okay, sure.
So you can cover some other issues, but
yeah.
You know, the old man, his name, they called him Rabbit. Rabbit was what they called a lifer. He was doing three lives, and I don't know what Rabbit did to get put in San Quentin, but it was obviously pretty bad for him to give him life. And but he was an older man. He's probably in his 60s, about my age now. And Dad was 18, 19 year old kid when he came into prison, and he was Dad's cellmate, I guess.
Yes.
And they became friends, and the old man kind of took Dad under his wing and protected him, showed him the ropes, and, you know, and Dad would sing songs for him. He really enjoyed Dad singing, and it was while he was in there that Rabbit told Dad, he said, "Merle, I think I may have found a way to break out of San Quentin." And, of course, Dad said, "Well, I want to go." Rabbit said, "Well, you can, Merle, if you want, but I'm asking you not to do it." And Rabbit told Dad, he said, "Merle, I'm an old man. I'm doing life. I ain't got nothing to lose. But you do. You're a young man, Merle. You need to straighten up and get out of here. Do something with your life before it's too late for you." And he's the one that told him, he said, "You got a gift for music. Do something with that." don't follow in my footsteps. He said, if you go with me on this prison break, he said, there ain't no turning back for you. And he told him, he said, I'm not coming back here without a fight, Merle. So unless you're willing to die, you don't want to go with me. But he talked him out of it. And but Rabbit and two other men did break out of San Quentin prison. And I don't know. I can tell you how he did, but that's another story.
That's another story, exactly. Yes. But out of this came Sing Me Back Home, I understand.
Well, what happened was that Rabbit and his two friends did break out of San Quentin, and the law caught up with them a couple of weeks later down in San Jose, south of San Quentin. You know, they found them at holed up in a little hotel down there, some little flea bag hotel. They surrounded them, trying to take them back into custody, and Rabbit and his two friends put up a fight, and the two men that were with Rabbit were killed by the police. Rabbit killed an officer, a policeman, trying to get away.
Wow. And there goes his life.
When they caught, they tried him for that crime, and they, back in those days, in the 50s, early 60s, you killed a policeman, it was almost automatic death sentence.
For sure, yeah.
They sent him back to San Quentin prison to execute him for shooting that policeman, and but Rabbit's last request before he died was that Dad be allowed to sing him one more song. And it was apparently a song that Rabbit's mama used to sing for him when he was a boy. He wanted to hear that song that his mama used to sing him one more time before he died. And the warden allowed it. Dad sang that song for Rabbit. And not long after that, they did execute Rabbit.
I see.
And in about that same time all that was going on, Johnny Cash did come into the prison and did a show for all the convicts. And Dad seen Johnny on stage, and you know, and Rabbit had got him thinking about doing music for a living instead of what he was doing, and he looked at Rabbit and realized that lifestyle wasn't working out for him, and he seen Johnny on stage and said, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do right there. Made his mind up to quit breaking the law and play by the rules of the prison, and eventually the prison realized that he had been rehabilitated or whatever, and they let him out in 1960. And
okay.
2 years and two years and 9 months after they put him in, and he came home to Bakersfield, California. Me and my mama and my oldest sister were living in an old train boxcar that had been turned into like a little, almost like a mobile home, and that's where we were living, real poor, dirt poor. And Dad come home from San Quentin, went to work in the local bands around Bakersfield, and nobody knew he was an ex-convict, and you know, but eventually he was so talented that somebody there in town that had a little independent record label, well, Fuzzy Owen was his name.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fuzzy ended up being Dad's personal manager entirety of his whole career. But Fuzzy recognized his talent, you know, and Fuzzy, he had some connections within the music business. He had actually written a couple top 10 records for other artists. But he talked Dad into letting him cut a record on him. Him and his cousin, Louis Talley, they cut a record on him. And I think Fuzzy knew Win Stewart pretty good. Found this kid that could really sing. Asked him if he had any new songs. Win was a great songwriter. Win said, well, I got a song I just wrote called Sing a Sad Song.
Of course.
Well, send me that song. And a long story made short, they cut that record on Dad. Fuzzy sold everything he had and borrowed every dime he could get his hands on to promote that little record. He knew he had a special artist. And they put it out and they promoted it, that little independent record label, and the song went top 20 in the country. Caught the attention of Capitol Records, who ended up signing Dad to a major record deal in 1964. And then the first record they recorded off of Capitol was Lonesome Fugitive.
And I understand that he didn't write that one. It was Liz Anderson that wrote it.
That's right. Lynn wrote that, and All My Friends Are Gonna Be Strangers.
Yes.
So he hadn't quite developed into the songwriter he turned out to be at that point. He was still real young and green. He had no idea how good he was. He had never really experimented that much with songwriting. But anyway, it was in 1966, I think it was, that he wrote, maybe 67, Sing Me Back Home. And by the time he wrote that song, you know, it had been 6 years since they released him from San Quentin. By the time he wrote that song, he had two number one records, top 10 record, top 20 record. He had just won the New Male Vocalist of the Year Award, and he was on his way. He was really doing well, and he was looking at his life and his career and realized how quickly things had turned around since San Quentin. The advice of that old man in San Quentin, back to Rabbit, what got him thinking about music, and he realized that that's what turned his life around. And thinking about Rabbit, he wrote Sing Me Back Home, and it turned out to be a country classic, you know, a Merle Haggard classic for sure.
That's for sure,
and,
yeah.
Dad was singing all these songs about prison, you know, which really a lot of country artists did that, but it wasn't till after Sing Me Back Home that, in fact, again, it was Johnny Cash who convinced Dad to let people know that he was an ex-convict. And because Dad wasn't proud of that, and he didn't want nobody to know. But Johnny Cash wanted to tell me, he said, you need to let these people know that these songs are coming from your life. You know, that these aren't songs, you know, it's not like some other country artists singing songs about prison.
Well, for instance, Johnny Cash himself had never been to prison, so the stories say.
No.
So,
yeah. Johnny, he did a lot of shows in the prison, but yeah. Johnny spent 12 hours in a jail one night. But
that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was no big deal. And Johnny never did go to prison to do time, but he did go to prison to cut a couple live albums.
Exactly.
But anyway, Johnny was the one that told Dad that. Dad didn't want nobody to know that he was an ex-convict, but Johnny convinced him that you need to let people know about your past so they know where these songs are coming from. And Dad's musical ability was special, but when you look at the songs he was singing, he was one of the few artists that was singing songs about his personal life, which in itself was a movie. I mean, Dad's past was pretty colorful.
Yes, it was.
But anyway, that Sing Me Back Home song was, that was the song that convinced him to let people know that he was actually an ex-convict. From there, the rest is history, as they say, but you know, like you just said earlier, the song Running Kind, Fugitive, Branded Man, and all those songs about prison, songs about Dad's life.
That he was, had lived them, you know, exactly.
Which was a unique part of his career. Because that's where he got his, I think he got that nickname in the music business called the Poet of the Common Man.
The warden led a prisoner down the hallway to his doom. And I stood up to say goodbye like all the rest. And I heard him just before he reached my cell, let my guitar playing friend do my request. Let him sing me back home for the song I used to hear. Make my old memories. The warden led a prisoner down the hallway to his doom. I stood up to say goodbye like all the rest. I heard him tell the warden just before he reached my cell, let my guitar playing friend do my request. Let him sing me back home with a song I used to hear. Make my old memories come alive. There's a song my mama sang. Would you sing it once before you move along? Won't you sing me back home with a song I used to hear? And make my old memories come alive.
Gotta keep those cards and letters coming in, honey.
Howdy, friends, listeners. This here is your old host with most country western music and bluegrass music, Johnny Woodlock. And I'd like to invite y'all, my listeners, to write yours truly, Johnny Woodlock, as well as Sim Bush and also Little Gunny. Here at the Woodlock Ranch and Studios. Have you ever had a thought or a message for us about this program you hear weekly? If so, we would love to hear from you. So write to us at our email address at waybackwoodlock@gmail.com and we'll be sure to write you back. In the meantime, back to the show, friends, and happy listening.
So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Well, yes, friends, once again, we have reached the end of the second hour of the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and also www.osherox.com. As I send us into the third and final hour, I would like to play a song by the man in black, Johnny Cash, who had a great influence in the Merle Haggard story. With that, we're going to hear a classic prison song from the Folsom Prison live album titled Greystone Chapel. With that, I hope to talk to you on the other side of the third and final hour of 10 o'clock here this morning. And welcome in, friends. Happy listening.
Johnny Cash, I wasn't really all that knocked out with him until I saw him perform.
Thank you very much. This next song was written by a man right here in Folsom Prison. And last night was the first time I've ever sung this song. Anyway, this song was written by our friend Glenn Shirley. And hope we do your song justice, Glenn. We're going to do our best. Inside the walls of prison, my body may be, but my Lord has set my soul free. There's a gray stone chapel here at Folsom, a house of worship in this den of sin. You wouldn't think that God had a place here at Folsom, but he saved the soul of many lost men. Now this gray stone chapel here at Folsom stands 100 years old, made of granite rock. It takes a ring of keys to move here at Folsom, but the door to the house of God is never locked. Inside the walls of prison, my body may be, but the Lord has set my soul free. There are men here that don't ever worship. There are men here who scoff at the ones who pray. But I've got down on my knees in that gray stone chapel, and I thank the Lord for helping me each day. Now this gray stone chapel here at Folsom, it has a touch of God's hand on every stone. It's a flower of light in a field of darkness, and it's given me the strength to carry on. Inside the walls of prison, my body may be, but my Lord has set my soul free.
He knew that I'd been in prison. He said he wanted to tell the people on the show. I said, oh, man, just don't do that, you know. And he said, if you do, he said, they'll never be able to harm you in the tabloids. Well, he said, honesty is the best policy in the long run, don't you think? I said, I do. So he told folks that I'd been in penitentiary. I'm sure it was the best thing to do.